Lord, we thank you. We love you. We need you. Oh, God. So much happens. We say it all the time from Sunday to Sunday. Oh, my God. So much happens from Sunday to Sunday. But Lord, here we are, and we're standing, and we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, how it illuminates the way, Lord. So we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. God, we need you so much. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Give us peace, give us comfort, give us direction, give us your wisdom. Give us a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might go out and serve others and serve you through serving others, Lord. We go out and we speak up and we show up, Lord, and we stand out and we don't try and fit in. And we decree and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. God, ignite a fire in us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear exactly what you're speaking to your people corporately and then speaking to us individually this morning. We need you, Lord. We need a word. We don't need an opinion. We don't need the news. We need your word this morning, God. And we bless you and we love you for it. Holy Spirit, rule and reign. Teach your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did I say Acts 16:25? Okay, so we're in Acts 16:25. The theme that we've been talking on is the good shepherd, as opposed to a bad shepherd, as opposed to a false prophet. So Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. So we were in Acts 20, and then Paul was talking about the good shepherd, the difference between the good shepherd and the false prophets. And then Paul prayed with the congregation. And so then we tried to figure out, what does Paul know about prayer? So then that took us to Acts 16 and 25. Why was Paul so stuck on prayer? Why would even Paul write to the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing, to always have an attitude of prayer? So here we are. If you don't have this highlighted, you should. If you're taking notes, verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed. Come on, family. Look, I mean, we've been teaching on this, but how appropriate God's word is all the time. Amen. That word prayed in the Greek, it means to supplicate, means to petition God and to worship. It's one word that means, it says prayed there, but it means to supplicate, make petition, and to worship. Family, we should be worshiping God every day without ceasing. And they sang praises. We're going to come back to that, unto God. And the prisoners heard them. So it was a public prayer. They're singing, they're worshiping, and people can hear them. Somebody say amen. Amen. Wasn't a secret. They're worshiping, they're praying, praising. People heard them. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's shackles were loosed. So make a note that they prayed, they worshiped, they were praising God. And then the breakthrough came and God shook it up. So family, be praying and praying for a shakeup. We prayed for a shakeup and looked like it's getting shaken. Somebody say amen. Let's say, be careful what you pray for, amen. We're praying that God will shake things up. And here we are. I have a note. What to say? God will shake things up with a shutdown. God's shaking things up with a shutdown. So here we are, shaking things up. Make a note that Paul and Silas is at their lowest point. They just got beat. Hear what I'm saying? They just got beat for speaking up for Christ. So you could get beat. You could get verbally beat up. Somebody say, man, because it's happened. You take a stand for Christ, you get verbally beat up and you're wounded. Paul and Silas are at their lowest point. They've been beat up. They're still bleeding. And then they say they put them in prison, not only just prison, but the inner prison. So now they're all the way in prison and they shackled them up for taking a stand for Christ. So as we take a stand for Christ, when these things are being shaken up and shut down today, maybe we'll have to suffer some verbal abuse and And it ain't time for that. Nobody asked you that. Here you go with that stuff again. Paul and Silas, but what did they do at their lowest point? They sang praises. They worship God. So you should have in your notes, those of you who are here, that the word praise means the great Hallel, H-A-L-L-E-L. That was the Jewish Hallel. And we determined and found out last week that Paul was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and he was a Pharisee. He knew the law. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. He was everything that a Jew could be. And so when he's singing the great Hallel, it took us to Psalms 136. We got into some of it, but we didn't get into all of it. So today we're going to get into all of it. We're going to finish it off. So turn to Psalms 136. So you want to say, what was Paul and Silas? What were they saying? What were they praying when they were in jail, beat at their lowest point? Family, what do you say? What do you do when everything's falling apart and you don't know where the next anything is coming from? You say the great hallelujah. You go to the great hallelujah. Make a note that praise is used 100 times in the book of Psalms. Praise. Oh, Lord, help us. Darius, take us to Psalms 136 and verse 16. Psalms 136 and 16. Because we did the other half last week. Somebody read Psalms 136, 1 for me. This is how they start to praise. Somebody read that for me. So I've been beat, I'm in jail, I'm in the inner prison, and what am I saying, Jerry?
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever.
And I'm singing that at my lowest point, in jail, beat, bleeding, and me and Silas. Man, pray for a Silas to come alongside of you. Somebody that when you beat, bruised, battered, and broken down, that they can sing praises with you. This is the great Hallel. This is what, when it says they sing, they prayed and sang praises, this is what they're singing. Oh, give thanks unto. How can you sing at your lowest point when everything's falling apart? Well, you don't know if your job's going to be shut down. And by the way, mine has been shut down. They close all the schools. I was telling Tracy this morning, I had all this stuff on my calendar. I drew a line through it. For the next 20 days, all my stuff is gone. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for he is good. Amen? Amen. I mean, this is when does it get real for us, family? I can't trust God for you. I can only trust God for myself. I can only stand on this because I've been living this. And then can I be real? Yes. As I was freaking out. I said, God, so what do I do? He said, so the schools are closed. Said, is your source the schools or is your source me? Amen. All right. So family, is your source? I mean, it gets real. I mean, come on, family. And I told y'all, I've been meditating on Psalms 136 and 145 every day. And I just walk out the door saying, God, you got it. But I have to be a real Sister Angela when I was freaking out. But family, we just can't serve God when things are good. Amen. Here's Paul and Silas at their lowest point. And they're singing, give thanks. Okay, I'm talking too much. Let's get into, because the word speaks for itself. So let's pick it up at verse 16. It says, God led his people through the wilderness. And look what he says. For his mercy, his loving kindness endures forever. As he's leading you and I right now through the wilderness, whatever this corona thing is going on, he's leading us through that. And at the same time, you better underline that his mercy, his loving kindness endures forever. And don't you forget it. Look, to him which struck down great kings for his mercy, God is in control of all this. Yes. He raises up and he strikes down. Amen. And he killed, verse 18, and he killed famous kings, and his mercy endures. While he's taking folks out and raising them up, his mercy still endures forever. God does not change. That's what David is trying to get across. Regardless of what we're going through, God's not changing. They change, the leaders change, this changes, that changes, your job changes, but his mercy endures forever. People come and people go, his mercy endures forever. Verse 18, Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 20, and Og and the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And family, I'm trying to stay focused. I didn't tell y'all I'm all over the place. I tell y'all that this morning. I'm trying to stay focused as I'm reading this, right? Amen. So I'm trying to take my time. I'm like, I got to get through this. But guys, say, just take your time with it. We start where we start. We finish where we finish. Amen. Amen. So much I want to share. Last week, I said I want to drop kick the door. I feel like that this week, too. I'm so excited about this, right? So then you get curious. And he says, and king of Bashan, and then it says, for his mercy endureth forever. So I'm like, well, what did he do? What happened with Og, the king of Bashan? Okay, so then that takes us to Darius, brother Darius. That takes us to Numbers 21:33. Family, go to Numbers 21:33, and let's see what happened. God, David is rehearsing and telling you what God has done so that you don't get all upset and afraid now, because if he did it then, he's going to do it now, and he's going to do it in the future. Amen. So based upon God's track record, we know that everything's going to be okay. Because that's the God we serve, and his mercy endureth forever. If he did it for them, he'll do it for us. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. So here we are at Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So I say, if you go to church and your pastor is looking for Genesis, where's Genesis at? You're not in the right place. Amen? You cut me some slack with Numbers, right? It's somewhere in there. 21:33. Okay. If you're there, say amen. Okay, he's talking about the children of Israel. And they turned and went up by the way of Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, went out against them, and he and all his people, to the battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this down. Come on, family. The Lord said, number one, God speaks. And he speaks to his people. So before we get to what he said, you got to understand that God speaks to his people. Amen. We talked about it yesterday in the leadership seminar, the personal disciplines. And one of them is solitude, where you kind of get by yourself, whether you're walking on the beach or you walking in your backyard. So and say, God, speak to me. Let me know. What do I do right now? It's one of the personal disciplines of getting into solitude so God can speak to your heart. So here's God speaking to Moses. God speaks, family. He's speaking today. Look what he told him. Don't be afraid. Somebody say amen. I don't care what's going on. God speak and comfort my heart. And the Lord said unto Moses, don't be afraid. Fear not, for I have delivered him into your hand, and all his people, and his land, and thou shalt do to him as thou did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So they defeated him, verse 35. And his sons, and all his people, until there was none left alive, and then they took the land. I go back to Sihon. That's what he's saying. When he's talking about 136, Psalms 136 and 20, that's what he's talking about. God speaking, God moving, God saying, don't be afraid. I got this. And I'm providing for you. And stuff that ain't even yours, I'm giving it to you. And just like we took them out, I'm taking them out. Just like we took out Sihon and all those other guys, we're taking them out. Back to Psalms, Darius, 136 and 20. So as I'm reading this, and I didn't want to, and even when it took out Sihon and the king of the Amorites in verse 19. If you want to look at that on your own time, check out Numbers 21:21. I could preach from that just alone, but I got to try and stay focused. Y'all know I have ADD. I'd be all over the place when I'm trying to study. He took out this king, Bashan. Oh, king of Bashan. And it says, God's mercy endures forever. As God, write a note, family, as God's working in your life, as he's moving pieces around like a chessboard. And he's replacing and he's taking and he's adding. You got to understand that his loving kindness endures forever. God has never stopped loving you despite the enemy coming against you. And he has to whisper in your ear, Jerry, don't be afraid of that. You know, I love you, man. This does not take away my love from you, Sister Terry. Regardless of what you're going through, God is saying it hasn't taken away my love for you. And it endures. And my love for you is never going anywhere. And you got to face those enemies sometime. But God takes them off. God is fighting them. You and I, we're not. We're trusting God. But we can't be afraid. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. We got to run to God and not from God. In the midst of all this stuff, oh my gosh. That's why I want to drop kick the door. Verse 21, and gave their land for an inheritance, for his mercy endures forever. God got stuff for us. And this is not no name it and claim it and grab it and blab it. But it's just saying God has it already worked out for us. So I got to remember. That's why I'm not freaking out anymore. Amen. Because the school shut down. I said I'm not freaking out. OK, I'm not. OK, I'm good. I'm good now. I'm standing on the word. We asked for a shakeup, and it said the very foundation, God is shaking some foundational stuff. But we know when our house is built on the rock, that's not going to be shaken. If your house is built on the sand and you've been playing church, then you should be afraid and you should be running to God. Here we go. Let me finish this off so I can get to the next one, which is, oh my gosh. Where verse 21, gave their land as an inheritance, for his mercy endures forever. Remember, when God blesses you with stuff you ain't even worked for, remember his love and kindness endured forever. Verse 22, even inheritance unto Israel, his servant, his mercy endures forever. When God takes away stuff, his mercy still endures forever. He still loves you. Look what it says in 23, who remembered us. God hasn't forgotten us, family. God remembers us at our lowest state in the toughest times. His mercy endures forever. And he's rescued and saved us, verse 24, from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. He gives food to all flesh. He provides for us. Somebody say amen. Amen. So please don't let me see you on the news freaking out, fighting people in the grocery store. Fighting over a basket, fighting over some toilet tissue, fighting over a piece of bread. Please don't let me see you on the news. Amen? Amen. I will be watching just for that alone. I'm going to have the volume down because I don't care what they're saying. I just want to see if I'm going to see you in there. Okay? God provides, family. Lord, continue to provide for us. We stand on your word, God. We trust you. In the midst of all this foolishness, Lord, we trust you. Oh, my gosh. Then look at verse 26. The way that it started, the same way it ends. Somebody better underline that, put some stars by it. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Not the God of this world, but the God of heaven. Not the false gods, but the God of heaven. Because he will never stop loving you and I. Been reading and meditating on this for the past 2 weeks, family. Look at, Darius, take us to Psalms 145. Oh, my gosh. So much I want to share, family. Amen, amen. Lord willing, we'll have next week and the week after that. And I got all this notes on my notes. Oh, my gosh. Did I say Psalms 145? Brother Jerry, you did such an outstanding job. Can you, we did this last week, but I just got to hear Psalms 145:2 again.
Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever.
Oh my gosh. Say that again, Brother Jerry. When shall I praise God? So look, I get the email or whatever that the schools are shut down. Right. And this is all I do every day, Lord. I don't care. It ain't changed nothing. Amen. Every day I will bless you, Lord, and lift up your name. It ain't changed nothing. It ain't changed nothing. Every day. family. And so here's the other thing. Remember, Paul and Silas, we're talking about the good shepherd. Make a note, this is what the good shepherd does for us as opposed to the false prophets. And remember, make this note if you don't have it, that your location should never affect your prayer life. Paul and Silas are in jail, but they're still praising and praying and worshiping. So regardless of where you are, it has no consequences, of no consequence to where you are, what you're going through, and your prayer life. They're mutually exclusive. So what? Shut it all down, and I'm still on my knees every morning with my worship time, with my worship song, saying, Lord, I'm going to bless you every day, because it has no effect. You and I, what we have has no effect on what's happening outside. And I trust you. It gets real. It's real right now. Somebody say amen. All right, so we picked this one up at verse 10, because we went through the other verses last week. Verse 10, Psalms 145 and 10. You there? Say amen. Amen. All thy works shall praise you, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless you. Underline it. That's us. We're sanctified, we're set apart, and we're going to bless God. Everything God created shall praise him. And here we are, we're going to bless him. Verse 11, they shall speak, underline speak. Somebody needs to speak up. Ha ha! In that line, when your family calls, when whatever's happening in your house, you speak up of the glory of the kingdom of God, his rule, his reign, and talk of his power. Oh my gosh, what do I do? You speak of the glory of God. You talk about his power, his rule, his reign, his supreme sovereignty. That's what you do. You speak up. Family, it's time to speak up. I wish somebody would say something to me in the store. I'm ready to speak up, Jerry.
Amen.
Well, you know, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ, so it's all this has been written about. So is there any way I can pray for you right now? Come on, somebody speak up. Somebody speak up. I serve God. Is there any way I can pray for you right now? God told me not to be afraid, not to be fearful. So if I can pray for you right now, just let me know. I wish somebody would, Sister Carrie. I wish somebody would at the gym. I'm going to the gym tomorrow, Lord willing, if I can get out of bed, all right? If I can get up with this old body and get out of bed, I'm going to try and go. Since ain't nothing on my calendar right now, maybe it's somebody at the gym I need to minister to. Somebody say amen. I ain't got nothing else to do. Well, maybe I can get in shape now. Somebody say amen. Okay? And I wish somebody would say something to me at the gym, Sister Charlene. I'll be like, okay. You know what? Hey, you know, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Not only work on his physical body, but the spiritual body is even more built up than this. Anyway, I can pray for you. Come on, somebody. It's time to speak up. Of the glory of the kingdom and talk of God's power. I'm not worried about this stuff. Let's talk about God's power. You really want to talk about something? Let's talk about God's power. How about that? No way. You know, they said they closed. I know all that. But can we talk about God's power just for a minute? He's the greatness. He's the power. He's the glory. He's the victory and the majesty. Everything in heaven and earth is in his hand. Amen. Come on, we've been talking about the wrong stuff. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm going to drop kick that door in a minute. we've been talking about the wrong stuff. Remember, you got to get off of Channel 5 and turn to Psalms 145.
Amen.
You got to get off of Channel 6 and turn to Psalms 136.
Amen.
Let's talk about his power. Oh my gosh. All right. Oh, it gets better. Oh my gosh. Okay. It gets better. Why do we talk about it? To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Oh my gosh. Family, this is our mandate. Regardless of what situation you and I are in, because look what it does. So I'm not sitting around feeling sorry for myself because the school's closed and all this. I don't care. I mean, I care, but I don't care. But I'm not sitting around. I'm talking about his mighty works, his mighty power, his majesty, his kingdom.
Amen.
No sense having a pity party. God hasn't called us to have a pity party. He's called us to have a praise party. in the midst of wherever we are and whatever we're going through, shackled in jail, has nothing to do. This is what Paul and Silas is singing. They're singing this. We're reading it. We're reading their mail, but this is what they were singing. Locked up, shackled for serving Christ. And they break out in these songs. Oh my gosh, verse 13, thy kingdom is everlasting, is an everlasting kingdom. Make a note. See, when we sing and talk about this, we're talking about something that's permanent. Because we already know that heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall never pass away. So let's start talking about something that's permanent. The kingdom, why? Because all this other stuff really doesn't mean nothing. And if we haven't realized that now, then I don't know. And I've been saying, if this doesn't revive folks who run to Christ, then maybe they just say can't be revived. This don't get you to thinking about, okay, what's all this about? All this can fall apart, can be shut down just like that. Then what's going on? Well, it actually has been written about. If you read the word of God, all this, and what we say, Jerry, all the time, either Jesus was guessing or Jesus was God. One of the two, he's just guessing that it's going to be diseases and violence and all this kind of no natural affection, truce breakers, all these in the last days. Either he's guessing or he's God. It's all been written about. I can show you where it's been written if you have time to really want to find out. It's all been written about. But we talk about in verse 13, the kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and the dominion endureth throughout all generations. God's rule and reign, it will last throughout all generations, not just some, but all. So I looked up kingdom. Kingdom is his royal power and dominion, his realm, his reign, his empire, his sovereign power. That's what the kingdom is. Talk about his sovereign power. But why does this happen? Why? Because God is sovereign in all his power. He does what he wants to do. He doesn't need your permission. And we found out in Psalms 145, 3, it says his greatness is unsearchable. It's beyond your understanding. Anyway, if God tried to explain to you what he was doing, you couldn't understand it anyway. His majesty is his excellency. He's excellent. Talk about God's excellency. Verse 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raise up all those that are bowed down and humble themselves. The eyes of all wait, hope upon you, Lord, and you give them their meat, their food in due season. That's provision. God sustains us. Thank you, Lord, for sustaining us. Verse 16, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. And Sister Kathy, and you know, we say sometimes he gives us what we need and some of our wants, but I was trying to get around that with this one, but it says he opens his hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. So he does give us our wants. But he places those desires in our heart and we want what God wants. Amen. So it's not like whatever I want. I mean, no. God placed the desire in your heart to glorify his kingdom. And he satisfies that. Oh, come on, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I put a desire in your heart. I'm going to satisfy that. In the midst of your struggles, in the midst of being locked up and shackled. And as we study the rest of that in Acts, we'll eventually get back to that. We're going to see Paul and them are broken free in the jailer. He gets saved and they're having provision at his house. And Paul goes on to continue to preach the gospel. God strategically placed us where we are so we can preach his gospel in the midst of our highs and our lows. All right, let me finish this up because there's so much more I want to share, but I'm going to finish. I'm going to at least get through Psalms 145 today. Is that all right? And we're almost there. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous. And that word righteous right there means he's gracious. in all his ways. I'm sorry, the Lord is righteous. He's right standing in all his ways. And holy, the word holy right there means gracious. There's a holy that means separate. But look, this holy right there in the Hebrew means he's gracious. The Lord is right in all his ways and gracious. His grace in all his works. How beautiful is that? The Lord is near unto them, unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him and trust him. Okay, let's unpack that just a little bit. The Lord is near unto all them that call upon him. Somebody say amen. That means that God answers our prayer. But it says, to all that call upon him in truth or in trust, to those that trust him. So God hears our prayers. He's near to us when we trust him. Come on, family. If today's the day we got to trust God. Amen. You can't halfway trust God. But God, he promises that he's right there and that he hears when we call upon him, because he knows that our heart is connected to his and we trust God. He will fulfill the desire of them that respect his awesomeness, that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will rescue them. Oh, come on, Lord. This is what they're singing. Say, to hear our cry for help. Somebody tonight, just with whatever, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, like if you're freaking out like I was, go and cry out to God. It's okay to cry. Somebody say amen. And the word cry, it means crying and it means to cry out. I looked it up. Cry for help. It means crying and cry for help. Oh, but you a pastor. You should be way past. No, shoot. Come on now. I'm telling you. I don't care who you are. It says God, he hears the humble and he resists the proud. Temptation said they're not too proud to beg. Somebody say amen. I'm saying I'm not too proud to cry. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. And that's the fear. That's the reverential awe. That means that you respect the awesomeness of God. It's the same fear that says at the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Respecting God. If you don't respect God, you're not going to serve God. You're not going to trust him. Somebody say amen. You don't trust anybody you don't respect. Huh. Can I get amen on that? Amen. If I have no respect for you, I'm sure not. Why would I put any type of trust in you? I don't even respect you. He will fulfill the desire of them that respect him. He also will hear their cry and will rescue, deliver, save them. The Lord guards all them that love him. He guards, he watches. That word preserve in the Hebrew, it means to guard, watch, and protect. The Lord, he guards, he watches, and he protects all them that love him. How do you know if you love God? He said, you love me, you keep my commandments, you do what I say. But all the wicked will he destroy? All right, here we go. Here's our mandate for the day. Verse 21. My mouth, underline my mouth, is personal now. Well, pastor, you the pastor. You the one supposed to be. No. It's your mouth. She'll speak of the praises of God. And let all flesh bless his holy. That is, now that word holy, in the Hebrew, that is the sacredness of God. I'm going to bless his sacred name forever. My mouth, everyone say, my mouth.
My mouth.
She'll speak the praises of the Lord. Oh my God. Are you serious? Family, I'm challenging you every morning during your praying and fasting time. Psalms 136. Psalms 145, regardless of where we're at, what we're going through, how blessed we are, We're always blessed. Whether we're feeling like we're blessed, or we're feeling like we're struggling, or wherever you are, your mouth, you have to speak up. This is Paul and Silas singing this right before the breakthrough came. Not after it came, before it came. They're singing this before it got shook up. Before God opened the doors, before God made a way. They're singing this each and every day. My mouth shall speak the praises of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name. When things are going good, but not when things are going bad. That's not what it is. Is that what it says? When should we bless his holy name? When we're in the midst of some type of virus breakout or not. Family, we should have been doing this. Somebody say, we should have been doing this anyway. Yes. And the rest of all this stuff, we got to pick up next week. So we're just going to, do what the word says. We're just going to bless the Lord. We're just going to praise him just for a few minutes. Amen. And then we're just going to get on out of here and live this thing. Don't live reckless. Wash your hands. I told y'all last week y'all should have been doing that anyway. Amen. What's wrong with y'all? Amen. With soap. We should have been doing that anyway. All of us, I've got to wash my hands. You should have been doing that anyway. But be careful, be blessed. Bless the Lord at all times. God, we didn't hear the word. We felt the word. We felt you speaking to us, God. Our location has nothing to do with us blessing you and praising you. Our situation has nothing to do with us blessing you, worshiping and praising you. Oh, we love you on this morning, Lord. And we lift our voices to say it. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Despite what we're going through, Lord, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of stuff being shut down, in the midst of uncertainty, God, we will praise you. We will worship you. We will bless you. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Yes, yes. We will bless you every day. This is what we decree and declare.